Hello, and welcome to this latest Fraser Wallander podcast. My name is Rob Watts, and today's podcast is part of the Institute's programme of work looking at how adults with learning disabilities are supported in Scotland. Now, we've put out some podcasts over the last 9 months or so, discussing a range of issues that tie into this project, the social care system, the support that young people receive as they transition into adulthood, human rights during the pandemic. But one thing we thought was missing was the voices of third sector community organisations who we know deliver a lot of the support and services that people with learning disabilities benefit from. So today we're delighted to be joined by Mary and Andrew from Get Together, which is a charitable organisation based in Edinburgh and the Lothians, helping people with disabilities who want more opportunities to find friendship and love in adult relationships. I'm going to talk in more detail about the work that Get Together does and the crucial role that the third sector plays in the lives of people with learning disabilities. But also we'll talk about the wider issues that Get Together addresses: social isolation, relationships, and sexual health amongst people with disabilities and additional support needs. Something not often talked about, and I guess that says a lot in itself. So, first question for our guests: what is Get Together?
So, Get Together is an organisation based in the Fisher Foundation in Edinburgh. It used to be called Dates and Mates, and we renamed it Get Together at a 2013 club night in the attic near Cavendish in Edinburgh. And what we are is we are an organisation for anyone with a disability over the age of 18 to come together to work together with the ethos of love and friendship and adult conversation and being able to be treated equally and also get access to courses and information that would not be otherwise be available to us. And it's a very simple simple process, and membership is free, and we cater for everyone, and we're very, very friendly and very passionate about what we do, and I thoroughly enjoy being part of it. So that's all I have to say. I love it.
Thanks, Mary. I should point out that Mary said Get Together is for everyone. And whilst the programme of work that we're doing is looking at learning disabilities, I guess the issues we're talking about today apply to many people with any disabilities. Andrew, did you want to come in and talk about Get Together?
The vast majority of people at Get Together have got learning disabilities, and part of the enhancing the relationships is we put on events that are in accessible areas where a wheelchair could get in easily, and we hold events. We've been going for 8 years, and since COVID we've moved online for online events, but the events, it's not a dating organisation, but we promote relationships amongst our members.
And what have you learned at Get Together about relationships?
Yeah, I have learned so much about how to have an adult relationship with other members of Get Together and in the wider community. It also taught me about how boundaries, how to approach people appropriately, and how to recognise within myself how to act in social and formal occasions as well. Before joining Get Together, I responded to every situation in exactly the same way. So for example, if you came to my house and I apologised, I would fling my arms around you and sit you down and talk to you at 100 miles per hour, and you would be like, oh, now I would open the door and say, would you like to come in before we start, Rob? just to let you know, I'm a bit deaf, so I need to see your face. Please remove your mask so I can see your face and your so I can read your lips. Would you like a cup of tea? And then have that conversation. But Get Together has taught me how to do that. But also, it taught me things about myself that I never knew about. It also made me a happier person in the future, that it accepted me, my sexuality, which is asexual, non-binary. That's thanks to Get Together and the courses that they provide, that they, you know, help me grow as a person, and also to have better interactions with members of staff and other members as well, to relate to one another more appropriately. So to use language, body language, and to use my words more, you know, effectively and a little bit more eloquent, rather than behaving in a way that I behaved 8 years before, prior to Get Together. It's been a huge change, very subtle, but at the same time, really quite amazing. So Get Together has done that. And it's also, I worked with Get Together as well. I was an ambassador, I thoroughly enjoyed that. And just gave me opportunities that I wouldn't have had if I hadn't joined the organisation, and also giving me tools to cope with things in life that a lot of people with learning disabilities have to be cope with, but also to give me a lot more resilient. It made me more resilient. Definitely made me more resilient.
Thanks, Mary. And Andrew, what have you learnt at Get Together?
People just love being happy in events. I always, to make myself feel better at an event, I always say to myself, nobody comes to an event that we organise. They always come in the right frame of mind. You might be stressed just before it, but as soon as you get in, like Mary was, she was so honest with us at an event yesterday. She was having a wee bit of stress and she came and she just relaxed.
Just to jump in and sorry, but Andrew's an absolute superstar, to use his own words again, to use his own words, because he is, because yesterday, like I say, you know, it was just one of these days and jumped on late, and he's a very good artist and he taught me how to do some line drawing. So it's that kind of, we're helping each other out, Rob, so we're learning new things off each other, so we're building new skills. But again, it's done in a way that someone like myself with a learning disability can learn.
What I think is, sorry Andrew, did you want to add something?
The ways when I started working at Get Together, my first job, it was, I used to hug everybody anyway, that was what I'd done. And it was Marion asked me so nicely, she says, she just, my previous boss, what she said was, in a nice way, and it didn't even get me embarrassed, she says, we shake hands here at Get Together, we don't hug. And the moment she said that, I realised, well, I'm in a working position, I wouldn't go up to somebody in a nightclub and say, here's a lager, have a lager with me.
I would have to completely and utterly agree with Andrew's sentiment. Get Together gives you the skills and the tools how to conduct yourself, how I should conduct myself at meetings, social events, and it's, for me, it's been very subtle, but people, friends, family, have noted a very positive change within me, that I'm a lot calmer. I use my words a lot more appropriately. I also would like Andrew, very demonstrative. I would always a hugger, and now I am actually, you know, quite formal. I can now say to my key workers, just pat me on the shoulder or just touch the crook of my arm. You don't need to hug me to say hello. That's fine. Also, it taught me how to communicate more effectively within member-led groups. And let's talk about sex. That has given me the skill set to look after the people that are in the group and make sure that they are all kept safe.
What I think is very striking is that listening to you guys and thinking about the role of the third sector, we're talking about opportunities to learn essential skills that enable people with learning disabilities to live rich, fulfilling lives. And it's the third sector that seems to be providing these opportunities. And actually, that's kind of why we wanted to do a podcast like this, to highlight how important the third sector is in the lives of many people with learning disabilities, which in turn raises questions about funding the sector and also what gaps are being left by other support systems. I'm going to move the conversation on now. Mary, you mentioned in your previous answer, Let's Talk About Sex, which is a campaign by Get Together launched earlier this year. Let's talk about sex and the wider issues of sexual health and sex education. Let's start with that last point. What was sex education like for you at school? Andrew, I'll bring you in first.
I'm 56, and when I was at school, we just got a video. And that was the teachers. Once we'd watched the video, the teachers had done their bit, and then they just moved on. It was in the biology class, went on to the periodic table and stuff. But you pick up things, but there was some silly little things that I'm so glad I still don't believe, but I did believe this when I was at high school. This went round quite a lot with everybody, that if you had sex standing up, you couldn't get pregnant. And there was another one, if you get 3 love bites, you were going to die. Well, I'm sorry, but I actually believed that, because so many other of my friends believed it. But you do, as you grow older, you learn, hopefully, you pick up the things that they didn't teach you at the school, hopefully. But I think maybe it's moved on since I was at school. That's just a hopeful progress thing I'm thinking.
And Mary, what was sex education like for you at school?
Pretty abysmal. Went to a Catholic primary school, so you can imagine that was quite limiting. Luckily, I'm a precocious reader, so my mum, age 9, gave me a book on sex. So I read that, so sex education in high school was pretty limited, because I didn't get it due to being ill at the time, and in a hospital, so I didn't get the full benefit of sex education at school. So it was pretty limited when growing up. And what Let's Talk About Sex did was open up a huge avenue and it made me more aware of other people and relationships. Also, I've learned so much through Let's Talk About Sex through 2000. And we touch on lots and lots of adult conversations and topics in a way that is accessible for people like myself with a learning disability. I talk about the Holy Trinity, which is self-love, respect and consent, and pleasure. which, you know, is really, really important, because when we talk about pleasure, when the topic of pleasure comes in to, let's talk about sex, it means that the reduce of harm is reduced greatly. And I feel that as a peer mentor, I can facilitate healing and, you know, love, and also accepting of my sexuality and other people. And it is very adult to adult. We use proper terminology for body parts. We use proper terminology for sexual issues as well. And we also, it's an extremely safe space. It's very cathartic and really, really quite a very healing, extremely healing. And I would say that it's helped me to recover from so much. And I recommend people come and talk to this board if you get together, because it sends such a way that someone with a learning disability can understand as well. So I'm not talking to you for an hour and a half about stopping, and I'm saying, right, Rob, you need to reiterate what I've just said. It's broken down into little pieces. And then, you know, if you don't understand something or you want a question to be asked, that's fine as well.
I think a lot of what you guys are saying can be applied to everyone, especially people with learning disabilities. I think it's interesting because we're doing a podcast, we're talking about relationships and sexual health in the context of people with disabilities. And this is something that I've never really come across before. Why do you guys think that for a lot of people with disabilities, they seem to have very kind of low expectations of what a relationship or what kind of relationships they can have, both, you know, a relationship as like a couple, but also friendships and relationships with everyone else in their lives?
Again, I would have to say it's a lack of education and also a lack of effective communication. So, like I say, people with a learning disability learn things differently. So it's a very individual process, and it's very important to be very patient with us, and to understand that when we learn it, we learn it, and sometimes we might lose it, but it's very gentle encouragement, but also to give a really, really important constructive criticism as well. With the let's talk about sex, we don't infantilize you, which is a really harsh word for teaching someone like a child. So we don't, you know, people before joining the get-together, people would approach me and say, oh, how are you, little one, or how are you, wee one? And it's like, wait a minute, that's not the way you talk to me. When we get together, it's more about my dress, this is who you are, and this is how we're going to treat you.
Thank you, Mary. So, Andrew, I'll come to you next. So I was asking about why do you think when it comes to relationships and sexual health, a lot of people with disabilities, additional support needs, seem to have quite low expectations.
There was a thing I've not really said. I used to go to a club, and there was a boyfriend and a girlfriend there, both with learning disabilities, no physical disabilities. And the father, the older, the man that looked after the boy, never ever let them and visit her house. It was like, that was the way he thought. People with learning disabilities shouldn't have sex. And that was, it was horrible to see. We were only boyfriend and girlfriend at the club. They got on great, but the father, oh no, people with learning disabilities don't have sex. That's a no thing.
Yeah, and I suppose with that story, like there's a reason why that parent had that attitude, and it says something about how people with learning disabilities are thought about in society. I'm just going to bring in Moitza now, who wants to add something. So for our listeners, Moitza is events coordinator and acting director at Get Together. So Moitza?
I don't know if maybe some of you, Andrew or Mari, have noticed that, but we've also observed that a lot of people come with this high expectation of, I want a girlfriend, I want a boyfriend, without having the real skills of how to build relationships. So this is where we've identified the gap, the need that people have, and just trying to offer opportunities where people can develop, because the minute people have skills to self-reflect and communicate what they need, then they can build healthier relationships. And Mari and Andrew are perfect ambassadors of what is possible if people are given a chance to develop those skills.
Exactly, Moitza. I couldn't agree more with that sentiment. One of the things we campaigned is a double bed. The double bed campaign.
Meet mine a double.
Yep, so meet mine a double, that people with learning disabilities and disabilities living at home or otherwise have the right to have a double bed, and have the right to have their partners come over and stay the night. And also, I am learning so much from this Let's Talk About Sex course. People don't know about this. People, you know, come on and think, oh, wow, this is new. This is new. Why no one taught me this before? And it's like, again, as I said, and I reiterated, Scottish Government should be facilitating this for people with learning disabilities, because research has shown that if you promote consent, love, healthy sexual relations, the reduce of harm goes down so dramatically.
I think there is something as well around the barriers, Rob, that you were asking earlier. And I think the barriers are, there's so many barriers, you know, from parents, what Andrew was talking before, support staff who doesn't take people seriously. And then the lack of skills, the lack of opportunities, the unknowing how to communicate, not understanding how to build relationships, not understanding how to keep relationships, not understanding how to have, positive role models. People don't see what good relationships look like. They don't have, they don't have friends who are married. They don't have friends who are getting married. So it's this kind of lack of, maybe if there would be two people with learning disabilities getting married on the television, maybe that would be more something people would aspire to. There's so many things that could get in the way for people with disabilities. But the ultimate thing is that people need to find control for their own behavior, for their own feelings, learning how to communicate those needs, and take responsibility for their own social life. Take responsibilities for their own relationships. No one else can do that for you. You need to take life in your own hands. And that's where the adult-to-adult approach comes in.
I think it's important for our listeners that we provide just a bit of policy context. And so the Scottish Government's learning disability strategy is called The Keys to Life. And relationships and sexual health is listed as a priority. I guess it all ties in with the ambition to enable people with learning disabilities to have rich, fulfilling lives. And the Scottish Government say that having meaningful friendships and relationships is something that improves people's well-being and quality of life. I think that's something everyone can get on board with. They said that they will recognise the rights of people with learning disabilities to enjoy and maintain healthy relationships, including sexual relationships. And it goes on to talk about working with health and social care partnerships to reduce stigma and discrimination and empowering individuals around their reproductive health. Although nothing much more specific than that, to be honest. So let's just talk about the Keys to Life for a minute, because I think, Mary, you were at the launch of that back in 2013. Looking back, what do you remember about it?
I just remember it being extremely formal. Lots of, this is just at the point where I just moved out, lots of health experts, lots of people talking in a very grandiose voice, if you don't mind me saying, about how they were going to improve the lives of people with learning disabilities. And so it was, I found it quite overwhelming. The topics were quite, they didn't really touch on people with learning disabilities. It was more to do with services that they wanted to provide. And there wasn't really any context to any of it. It was just, like I say, we were put into a room and people, there were speakers who spoke about the grand plans for 2020-21. And so it wasn't, I enjoyed it. I've still got the booklet. But again, it was just about what they wanted to do in the future. So it wasn't really anything concrete for me. Like I said, there were so many health experts. There were people from, you know, Alzheimer's Scotland. There was all these experts. But again, I found it very formal, a bit too formal for me personally.
And Andrew, are you aware of Keys to Life?
I went to the Keys to Life when they updated it. I think it's possibly maybe 2019. East Lothian, but it was all meaningful thinking, like you were saying about the empowering sexual health. I wonder, more action and being than words. It was a wee bit like the government does, it sets guidelines for 2030, and if they say it and it's far away enough, they can just, it just sounds good, putting, oh, we'll do this by 2045, and it seems a bit, maybe that's political, it seems since it's so far ahead, they just say it and just leave it there. But it was wishful thinking, but like Mary says, it was a lot to take in. There was many, many points, but whether they actually look at these points and say, this is what we're going to work on, It was meaningful. The Keys to Life were done in a meaningful way, but actions speak louder than words.
Okay, so what policy changes would you like to see? Because I think we are expecting a refreshed strategy to come out later this year, maybe early next year. So what changes would you like to see? Should we come back to Andrew?
Well, it's ongoing with people with learning disabilities out in the community. It'll never stop improving. I don't think it will ever be like job done, complacent. We can always go on improving things for disabled people.
And can I just ask, Andrew, if you had to ask the Scottish Government for one like concrete policy, maybe in like the next 2 years, say, what would be your priority?
To have non-disabled people talk to people with learning disabilities and accept them a bit more. Have people with learning disabilities on Coronation Street. We used to say, oh, there was never a gay person on Coronation Street. You've got a gay people now, but it's very, people with learning disabilities aren't seen, and from our work, physical disabilities in learning is the biggest minority, but we should see more of people with Down syndrome in acting roles to make people, we're all equal, to make people more accepting of each other. But it has improved. People have just to be more able to accept people with Down syndrome, or if people were more accepting, just more accepting of people with disabilities and physical disabilities.
And Mary, did you want to come in here? What change did you want to see?
Education. I would like people with learning disabilities, like myself and other people with learning disabilities, to be more recognised in the communities. So, you know, like doing the Let's Talk About Sex report, which has been amazing, an opportunity that I would never had if it hadn't been for Get Together. You know, that's so important. The education that people with a learning disability, we learn certain things differently. So, for an example, I'm really, really good with faces and names and people and memory. But because I have a peripheral sensory ailment, the best way I can explain it, I can't tell from one step beginning to one step end. But Get Together and Let's Talk About Sex has taught me how to use Google Calendar, how to have a timetable, how to do this type of speaking at a podcast, these things. So I think one of the things I would say to Scottish Government is seek us out, ask us what we want, because I'm only speaking for us, you know, myself. I can't speak for anyone else. But I think it's just, again, you know, education and making sure that we're heard as well, that we have better sex education as well, that Let's Talk About Sex is more widely recognised as well. Because, like I say, I see in our members that come to the course, they come in on leaps and bounds. They're gaining new knowledge and they're becoming happier people and having better relationships regardless of their sexuality. And also I always do a safe space speech and say no homophobia, transphobia, xenophobia, racism, bigotry, that's not acceptable. And that's okay. And I think you know, that it's so important that we get heard, because it's really, for us especially doing this, that's one thing that I want the Scottish Government to say, is hear us, we're here, and also better pay for key workers and people working in the care sector. Definitely.
Andrew, did you want to add?
Just a thing that I feel bad that I've overlooked, that people with learning disabilities, physical disabilities, mental, to be given the chance to work, just to get the chance. I mean, I see Mary's a peer mentor at Let's Talk About Sex, and honestly, when you see her talking, you feel that job's just been made for her, because she's superbly, everybody gets a chance to talk, and I don't think Mary knows how special she is at that group. It's like just a shoe, and Mary just fits into it. But people with, I would love to see a person with Down syndrome serving me at McDonald's or something. If people just don't get the chance. You should just be given the chance to shine, because if you give 100 people the chance to shine, maybe 40 out of the 100 will shine. It's just something, the way a person looks is the way people judge when they're going for job interviews.
Yeah, and it's, I suppose, the, you said give people a chance, and it is the lack of opportunities.
Lack of opportunities, that's the way it's seen it.
Well, we'll have to wrap it up there. So I'll say thank you to our guests, Andrew, Mari, and Moitza from Get Together, for a very thought-provoking podcast looking at the role of the third sector in the lives of people with learning disabilities and the wider issues of relationships and sexual health. We'll see you again soon for another Fraser Allender podcast. Thanks for listening.